Thankful that you're here. Praise God. As we continue our study on the power to overcome, we began with the world. We looked at the warfare and the wavering. We looked at the temptation. We need to trust him so that we triumph. We looked at the trial of faith. It's going to take a fight, and sometimes we go through the fire. And tonight we're going to look at faith to move forward. Faith to move forward. Amen. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 is our focus verse for tonight. You there, say amen. The Word of God says, "For after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Amen? We know that the adversary constantly wants to set traps. You know, he's always got traps. And one of the things that I was thinking about what came to my mind when I thought about a trap. It's just something that just comes to your mind. A mouse trap. And a mouse trap, you put your cheese in the mouse trap to entice the mouse, to lure the mouse to the trap. And then all of a sudden, when he bites on the cheese, he dies. And that's what the adversary does. He kind of entices us and lures us away to get us ensnared by him, like in that trap. So first we're going to look at the traps. First thing he does is he sets his trap to entice. And this same book in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 18, the Word of God says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error." In other words, just because you gave your heart to the Jesus, that doesn't mean the adversary is going to give up on you. Amen? That he's going to still try to entice you. He's going to still try to draw you away. Amen? You know, when we look at this, we've overcome him, and we have victory that overcometh even our faith. We've overcoming the world. Remember, we talked about the world being the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Vanity, he allures us to the lust of the flesh. And that he tries to get us in our flesh, man. You know, things that we desire to feed our flesh with. When he brings something in to entice us, he tries to seduce us. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, if these things weren't happening, the apostle wouldn't be warning us about them. Amen? Remember, this is after Christ. This isn't before Christ. This is after the Holy Spirit. This is speaking to the church, okay? He's not speaking to the world. He's speaking to the body of Christ. The world doesn't understand the things of God. It's foolishness to them because it's spiritually discerned. So we're looking at these letters, what's written. It's written for our benefit. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 13, he said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Amen? Let's recognize that the devil is one of the greatest magicians. He's the artist of deception. He makes things look one way when they're truly a different way. Amen? And so as he comes in to entice us, to seduce us, then we get trapped in a snare. Amen? And if you look back in Exodus chapter 23, verse number 33, and this is one of the ways that the adversary really entices and seduces, and people are worshiping all kinds of gods. and not the Almighty God. The Word of God says in verse 33 that they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Amen. Remember, we're always saying that he brought us out of Egypt. We're not still in Egypt, okay? He delivered us out of Egypt through the water. Through our water would be through baptized into Christ Jesus by death and resurrection. Amen. So we're in this world. We're not of this world. And the Lord continually wants to remind you and I, because God wants to minister and work to us in mighty ways. And what will happen, he will not work through sin traps, okay? In other words, you know what he does with us? He purifies us. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart for his glory and for his honor, amen? And like I said before, nobody's arrived yet. We're all on a journey. But we can't overlook these things in the Word of God, amen? When I talk to the Lord, I say, well, Lord, I'd rather teach on preach on something else or teach on something else. And the Lord says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, from the Genesis to Revelations. You got to preach from the beginning to the end. Amen? And everything in between. Amen? So we have the whole Word and nothing but the Word. So first thing we find that he wants to trap you and I. How does he trap us? He tries to entice us by seducing us, by touching our flesh, something that's desiring to our flesh, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a snare. Amen? Secondly, in this, you're going to see this word used a lot, the temptations. And this is what we're dealing with, is the temptations by our eyes. Remember, he said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, of pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So first thing he wants to do is he uses our eyes, and it began in the very beginning. So turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Verse number 1. The Word of God says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said. First questioning the Word of God. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, liar. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You see how the adversary came in to entice first, to seduce her with the fruit and the lies, and then ensnared her, because the wages of sin brought death to you and I through what took place in Genesis in the very beginning. Amen? So when we look at this, God shows us a picture of how the adversary comes in. Well, did God say, well, he didn't really mean that. I heard John Frank say this. Well, I had Peter Paul say this. Well, I heard this one say this. But the question is what did God say? Amen? What did God say in his word? He gives us a picture here that will be tempted by our eyes. As the eyes are the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, also comes, the second thing is by money or riches of this world. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Amen? In other words, it's the love of money, or the love of this world, or the riches of this world. And one of the things the Lord is saying to us, that's one of the ways that the adversary entices us. That's one of the ways he seduces us. That's the way he snares us. All of a sudden, my children have to have everything that's out there. You know? Amen. Because every commercial shows them things to feed their flesh. Amen. You ever recognize that if they see something on TV and they're watching commercials or on the telephones, they're constantly advertising. They're constantly trying to sell things. They're trying to reach your flesh, to entice, to seduce, so they can snare you into getting something you really don't need. Amen. So he says there, you know, that the love of money is the root of all evil. So he tells us not to covet after those things. And another thing he deals with the eyes is, as a guy, I guess you could reverse this and say men or women, but I'm going to use women because I'm a guy and I don't know what it's like to look at a guy. But I know what it's like to look at a woman. In other words, I don't have no desires for any guys, and I only have desire for one woman, and that's my wife. But I still battle with the flesh like everyone else. Does anybody in the room have flesh? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and let's see what Jesus has to say to us. Verse number 27. Jesus speaking, it's in red. You need to get the red in your head. Or maybe one day you may wake up from bed dead. Amen. I'm corny and I know it. At least I didn't name our church Acorn Christian Church, right? Just saying. But in Matthew chapter 5, there's nothing wrong with that church. I was just using the sign, okay? You know, I come from an oak tree. The corn doesn't fall far. Acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, right? In verse 27, he said, "You have heard that it was said by them in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart." Boy, this is a hard one. "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Do you think Jesus was a little serious about that? Hello? You know, and he goes on to say, if your hand offend thee, if you go and take things that don't belong to you, it's better to cut your hand off or your arm off than to go to hell with you'd be better to live with one hand and one arm or one eye. You know? And he takes that a little bit further. He says that we're to have singleness of mind and heart. We're to be single-eyed towards him. Amen? So that deals right down in hometown, doesn't it? Hello? Amen? I don't think he's given us permission to lust over women, is he? Just saying. Amen? That's why he says in his word in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's better to marry than to burn. Amen? And so, you know, but we're not going there. We're just talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about ways that the adversary entices us and seduces us to get us in a snare. Amen? The third way is the tripping. He wants to trip us up. And the tripping, I was saying here, isn't taking LSD and going on a trip, not leaving the farm. I'm talking about being tripped. Okay. one of the biggest things that we need to deal with as children of God to help keep us from tripping is self-centeredness, being self-centered. Amen. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 14. It says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. Proverbs 14, 14.
Did you say from himself?
Yeah, it says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Amen. In other words, when we get self-centered, everything in life becomes about us. Amen? And boy, when it becomes like that, then the adversary can really have a heyday with you. Amen? Secondly, I have here self-crashing. Crashing. Amen? In Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, the word of God says, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Chasing things in the old life, self-chasing, trying to feed your flesh, being enticed, being seduced, getting into a snare. Amen? Third, he says, and I have it here, is self-chasing. I'm just chasing after myself. And Revelation chapter 2, this is Jesus speaking, and this is the end. And Jesus says this. He says, nevertheless, in verse 4, I have somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you and do thee quickly. Oh, it's Ruby. You're not feeling good? Lord, touch Ruby too. I heard somebody hacking out there. And will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except you repent. Amen? In other words, the Lord is telling us that, hey, you know, we're going to, the adversary is going to try to trap us. He's going to try to entice us. He's going to try to seduce us. He's going to try to snare us. We're going to be tempted. Watch. We got to guard our eyes, our flesh, with desires of the things of this world, and things of sexual things. And one of the biggest things that will trip us up is being self-centered, which brings self-crashing, which brings self-chasing. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, we have a close here. And here's the close. He says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Amen? In other words, God is saying to you and I, he has given us power to overcome the adversary, but we got to allow him to work in and through us to be victorious. Amen? You're never going to hear the pastor say that sin's okay. It's never okay. It never was, it never is, and it never will be. God isn't winking at it. Anybody thinks that he's just winking at it? You know, I heard somebody say today, he said, well, when you, I'm a Christian, so when I've sinned, I'm not a sinner. Well, yeah, you're not a sinner, but you better repent. Hello? Amen. Amen. And the thing about it is, you know, one of the biggest lies of the adversary, he makes our flesh feel that as we give into our flesh and we're enticed and seduced, that it's going to benefit us. But it's no benefit for us. It brings destruction all around us. It just looks good. It just seems good. But at the end, it brings destruction. Not only when Christ returned, I'm talking about in our lives now. Amen? Not just later, but for the present. God wants us to be sold out to him, and he will give us the desires of our heart as when our heart aligns with his. Amen? Praise God. So let's all stand. What? You hugging me? No? Can we lift our hands to heaven? Hallelujah. If you want to, if you don't want to, don't. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish something in every one of our hearts tonight, Father God. All of us know that the adversary is trying to set traps for each and every one of us in different ways. How he sets traps to entice us, to seduce us, to catch us in a snare, Father God. And he does that through lust of our flesh and the lust of our eyes and pride that comes, Father God. But your word declares to us, pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. So tonight, Lord, we humble ourselves before you as your children. We thank you that you have a plan for our lives, Father God. As you minister to our hearts, if there's areas in our lives that we have to repent or ask forgiveness, let us be faithful to do that, and you're faithful to forgive. So, Father, I thank you for your children here, Father God. I pray blessings upon them. I pray for you to watch over and keep them, Father God. Guard their hearts, minds, and souls through the Holy Ghost, Father God. Be with us as we fellowship together. Bless the food we're about to eat. Make a nourishment to the bodies. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God.